Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
She's right. It is the answer of the week. And welcome to it. If you're just joining us, here's how this works. First things first, my name's Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Nerd Comic Book Podcast. Across from me is Joe Patrick. Joey, say hello.
I am Joe Patrick.
He represents the other head of the Two-Headed Nerd. See how that works? There's two of us. One, two, one, two. Each week, Joe Patrick posts the question of the week in the Two-Headed Nerd forums. We then send out a blast on Twitter and Facebook that says, go there, check it out. We also announce it on the show. You guys can go to the forums and answer to your heart's extent or...
Content. Your heart's content.
Good God, why do I do that?
I don't know.
You can answer to your heart's content or you can call us at 402-819-4894. Leave us a message on our Google Voice line or send us an MP3 recording of your beautiful voice answering the question and we play you on this show. Answers must be less than 2 minutes. It's a hard and fast rule. I will cut your ass off. Before we get going, Joe Patrick, tell me what we asked the listeners this week.
This week's question came courtesy of Harvey Locust, who wanted to know what is the best thing you've ever scored as a collector.
Ooh, we're getting to the dark side. We don't talk about this very often.
Yeah.
The ugly aspect of comic books, like, collecting them.
Not the worst.
Piles.
Not the worst thing you've done to get something.
Dead cats crushed under long boxes that collapsed.
Oh, wow.
It's like an episode of Hoarders.
Let's just get into it.
There's always poop everywhere. What is wrong with those people?
They have a sickness, Matt.
God, I just want to set their homes ablaze with them inside. Anthony from Brooklyn. He's a good kid. Calls us every once in a while. Hits us with an answer. He was a very... First, let's see what this weirdo collects.
Hello, Joe and Matt. Hello, listeners. It's Anthony from Brooklyn. And my best collecting get is comic book related, has to do with how I got into comic books in the first place, and was 9 years in the making. Growing up, my father was in the U.S. military, which would force him to be away from us for long periods of time. At the ripe age of 3, my father read to me a pile of comic books on an audio cassette, and I would listen to that audio cassette over and over again. I still have it. Actually, it's awesome. He does the voices and the sound effects. It's amazing. One of the issues on the audio cassette was Uncanny X-Men 112. This is the X-Men versus Magneto. Now, at the end of the issue, Magneto emerges triumphant. He straps the X-Men to these mechanical chairs that negates their powers and gives them the physical and vocal attributes of infants. So imagine yourself being trapped in the body of an infant, not being able to do or say anything, and being completely aware of it. It's a fate worse than death, right? So that's the way the issue ends, and I had no idea what happened next. There were no comic book stores when I was growing up. There was no Wikipedia, so I couldn't find out. Of course, the X-Men were continued to be published, so I knew they got out of it somehow, but I never knew how. Fast forward 9 years later, I'm at a spinner rack, and my collecting... modus operandi at this point was to pick comics that had the best cover and flip through and see if they had the best fight scenes. And on a lark, I picked up Classic X-Men number 19, cover date 1987. And lo and behold, it reprinted the second part of that story. And I couldn't believe it. I re-listened to the audio cassette. I was 12, re-listening to my father read it to me. And then I read the issue, and it was an amazing reading experience. I didn't know what closure was at 12 years old, but I had this intense sense of closure, and it was awesome. Thank you very much.
That was heartwarming.
That guy.
Anthony from Brooklyn apparently had the best father in the world. My dad sucks compared to this guy. He was too busy burning me with cigars and threatening to change my name to Megan. He's a real son of a bitch, that Steve Baum. That's a great answer. That's so sweet.
Yeah, man, that's really touching.
That's a great answer. I don't know who's going to beat that one. That was very sweet.
Probably nobody.
I don't know. We got a Google voicemail here that seems to think differently.
Hey, guys. It's Aaron Myers, THN Love Slave, and one half of the Comics Therapy podcast calling in with my answer. I guess this is going to get a little nerdy, right, about comic books and scores and et cetera, et cetera. Some of you might know, some don't, who cares, but I pay for a lot of my new comics each week by selling old ones on eBay, sort of the nerd equivalent of stock trading, I guess. And I think my biggest score was never intended to be anything to resell. It was, and sometimes the best scores in terms of value work out that way. When I first got back into comics, it was actually because of The Walking Dead. And I loved the series so much that in 2006, I'm going to say, no, 2008, I went and bought off eBay, number one, just from a guy. I just wanted to own it. And it was the most I'd spent on a comic at any one time. It was $250. And in order to save time, long story short, ended up selling that recently for $2,050. So pretty good return on investment, even
well,
though it was nothing
la-di-da.
I really ever wanted to sell because I had a lot of emotional attachment to it. The value had just gone up so much that I was afraid maybe it's going to go down soon, and this was a good time to sell. And ended up buying a Daredevil number one and going to Emerald City Comic Con this weekend with the proceeds. So that's my best score, I guess, even though there's other examples. I'll leave it at that. Bye.
So, if you're wondering if you can buy Aaron Meyer's morals, yes, there is a price.
There's nothing immoral about that.
Nothing is so dear to the man that he won't sell it.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, I get it.
Cold, calculating businessman.
Meyer's collects comics the hard way, man. I mean, that's work. It really is. Selling stuff on eBay every week to pay for your new stuff. He has a responsibility.
He's got a habit is what he's got.
That's an addiction.
He's got himself a bad habit.
Damn addiction. I threw a fit and sold mine years ago, made $350 on it, and thought I was a pretty smart cat.
Turns out you a dummy.
I'm a dummy. Never have that one again. Black Scorpion the 3 hits us, and he's bragging. He's updated his studio. He's using Audacity and a microphone equals better sound quality, he says, question mark.
He's been very concerned about the sound quality of his MP3s.
The past couple sounded like he was in a wind tunnel or parachuting while he was calling us. So let's see how he did this week.
Sometime in the early to mid-2000s
Much
is when
better.
I made my real treasure find, where I would find the comics that were most valuable, more importantly, most valuable to me. I was reading a series called The Walking Dead that had just started. I picked up issues 5, 6, and 7. And I just couldn't find issues 1 through 4 anywhere. Ended up buying through a buy it now on eBay the first 5 issues for $30, I believe. And when I went to pay, the seller told me, hey, we're actually in town. If you want to save the shipping costs, just come on by and pick them up. When I walked in the store, immediately I realized that I had found the shop. They had old Jonah Hex issues and Captain Marvel, the old Shazam ones. And those were out front and very prominent. It wasn't a place that was intent on trying to get me to buy toys or geeking out over the most current hottest character that Wizard was pushing or anything like that. I just walked in and immediately developed a relationship with this couple where we talked about the comics that we loved and what made them special. And I developed that appreciation and that community with the comic shop owners again that I had missed. Those issues are now worth $1,000 a piece now that they're graded, and they are the most valuable issues in my collection. But I don't sell them because I think the thing that is most valuable is just developing that relationship. I mean, these are people who they came to my wedding, and they really got me back into comics on a very personal level. So that's my find, issues 1 through 5 of The Walking Dead for $30. And a friendship for a lifetime. That's it, nerds. Till next time, make mine Kirkman.
What a softy. You believe these guys? Come on.
Better than what Aaron got out of the deal.
Yeah, no doubt.
Your Daredevil number one.
Aaron swims around in his comic book collection like Scrooge McDuck.
He's and got a it, friend for life.
He's got it in this big vault, and he just sort of springboards into him and swims backstrokes and spits comics out of his mouth. It's really weird. Especially for a conditioned guy. I don't think that would be good.
Those comics are all worthless.
Yeah, you're going to have to
worthless.
Tell people that when you sell them. Good answer there. Black Scorpion the 3. What a softy.
Real quick, I just want to point it out. We only got 2 calls on the voicemail this week. Aaron's is one of them. The other one is coming up. But Aaron's definitely inspires this week's show title in the opening line where it says, "Hey, Matt and buyer agent, Leslie here, one half of the Cox There Be Podcast.
Cox There Be Podcast.
I think There Be Podcast is the title of this week's
Cox
episode.
Cox There Be Podcast.
There Be Podcast. All right, let's move on.
Elise Wisdom has a story.
Hello, listeners. It's Elise Wisdom here to talk about my greatest collector's score. Now, I don't really collect anything physical, but I guess you could say that I collect stories. I really like telling stories. I think I have a few good ones. I hope you guys think they're good. Maybe someday I'll try my hand at stand-up, but I'm very nervous about it. One of my biggest inspirations is Mitch Hedberg, who also had a lot of stage fright. That's why he wore the big sunglasses and looked down a lot. And today is the 10th anniversary of his death, March 30th. So I will try to sum up my story of when I met Mitch Hedberg. Long story short, he came to the Lead Center in Lincoln, and I told all my friends I was going to meet him that night because it was my destiny. After the show, I snuck backstage, ran into his wife and a cop. The cop tried to throw me out, but Mitch said, no, it's cool. He was super sweet and generous and let me take a couple pictures with him. And he had every right to tell me to f*** off and get out of there, but he didn't. He was just so, so great. And I invited him to come and have a pie with me and my friends at Village Inn, and he said, maybe. He did not come, but that's okay. I told myself it was because I never told him which Village Inn it was. Like, oh, maybe he didn't know which one it was.
I'm sure that was a problem.
He got confused.
Because there are so many Village Inns in Lincoln.
He went above and beyond. He was such a generous, sweet, funny person, and he left us way too soon. So instead of making short jokes at Matt today, I'm going to tell you one of my favorite Mitch Hedberg jokes.
Nice.
They say 7-Up is lemon and lime, but I tried making it at home. There's more to it than that. Wisdom out.
I love Mitch Hedberg. I got to see him.
Good.
I get to see him the year that he died. Man, that guy killed it. So good. That's a great story.
Elise sent a great picture of
her, and Mitch Hedberg.
I would use it to accompany the podcast when I post it, but I don't want to set off any of Sergey's triggers.
Oh, yeah, we haven't heard from Sergey for a little bit.
It might be because I keep making fun of him. It
could be.
And his creepy attachment to Elise.
Yeah, we called him a pervert and stuff. That's how we maintain listenership.
That's right. Thanks, Elise. That is a great story. And you are disqualified without prejudice because that is not a physical item that you've collected.
Yeah. Great story. Disqualified.
Just kidding. Just kidding. Come on.
There's rules. You guys demand these rules.
Hi, nerds. This is Riley Merriman. My dad says your new rules smell like my little brother's old diapers. So he left. My dad has an old Indiana Jones poster from the first one. He hangs it on the wall. He says it costs a lot of money. Would you like it? I will sell it online. Bye-bye, nerds!
So that was Brett Merriman's kid?
It was Brett Merriman's kid.
Did he say that he left?
I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I hope he was reading and he doesn't just talk like that, because that'd be really awkward. But
well, look, he's little, right?
I mean, I can't tell. You could be 15. We don't know. I mean...
So Indiana Jones movie poster?
He was offering to sell it to us.
Well, the kid was.
Yeah.
Because Brett left because our rules smell like his brother's old diapers.
Oh, okay.
Keep up, Matt.
Oh, okay.
He's a child. It's not that hard.
I can't understand child gibberish. All right.
Thank you for your call.
That was cute.
That was very sweet. And yes, I'm interested in buying your dad's poster.
What are you going to do with the money? Let's talk about that first.
Look, college, right?
I'm just saying. He could be like an at-risk youth. I don't know. I mean, we don't know what goes on in the Merriman household.
Well, I mean, his dad left because of events that happened on a podcast.
Yeah, dad got pissed.
So he's obviously an at-risk
youth. Ditched the family. He was so upset. That's horrible.
I hope everything turns out for you, buddy. I don't have any money to send you. Sorry.
Hey, Joe and Matt, it's Demetrius again, answering your questions in a week. My answer for what greatest find you got just off dumb luck, I traded my Sega Game Gear. I don't know if you guys remember those. I traded my Sega Game Gear for trading cards. It was the Amalgam trading cards and the Marvel versus DC trading cards.
But
I was a big fan of the comics when it came out. I was huge for Amalgam. You know, they're all just one issues. But yeah, that's my answer. Trading cards. What the hell was I thinking?
We gotta file that under like worst get.
But he was into it at the time.
Yeah, man. Little Demetrius Murray, not that smart of a kid.
Dude, I loved trading cards back in the 90s. I loved them.
Yeah, were your game gear?
Well, I wouldn't have traded my game gear for one. I mean, I have principles.
Man.
I had the Amalgam cards, man. They had like canvas cards that were like painted. They looked awesome.
That is a terrible kit. Oh, sorry to hear that, buddy. You got friggin' hosed.
David Robbins emailed in with his answer to the question, sent pictures of what appears to be a Buffy the Vampire Slayer something.
Signed by the cast.
Signed by the cast and crew, maybe.
Very cool.
Yes, it's definitely cast members, and I see Jane Espenson's name. She's one of the writers. However, did not attach his MP3.
So
I don't know what it is.
Doesn't count towards the 10. Sorry, David. You're out.
It's awesome, though. This thing looks really cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. Well, I'd love to hear about it sometime. For now, let's go to the Orca.
Here in Maine, we ain't got the fancy cons like you city boys. Hell, we're just down to 4 good funny book stores in the whole state. Portland's got something they call a show, but it's really just a circle jerk for virgins. What we've got here is flea markets, which is a great place to get the clap, and a good place to sometimes find some fine vintage collectibles. A few years back, I found, complete with a certificate of authenticity, the colostomy bag that James Earl Jones wore in Star Wars, so he wouldn't have to get out of his suit every time he had a piss. I know what you're saying, Joseph. It wasn't really James Earl Jones in the suit.
I was
every
saying
every time
that.
I dug out that bag to marvel at it, and sometimes to smell it, I would just love to picture him sighing in relief with that big old voice of his every time he relieved himself. And all this treasure cost me was a half-drunken handle, a Allen's coffee brandy, an old tin Moxie sign shot full of bullet holes. I recently sold my beloved Zach a DNA on UncleHenrys.com. The main version of eBay. Go ahead, look it up, Matthew. The tidy sum was enough to cash for my granddad and I to launch our often dreamed of little entrepreneurial endeavor right out of her refurbished FEMA trailer. It's one of them 900 number sex lines. She answers the calls and I handle the switchboard and just listen to her do her sexy talk and the customer's heavy breathing. Call us, you pervs. The number is 1-900-637-8779. That's 1-900-ME for Maine, P-U-S-S.
All right, you pervert.
He cut himself off.
I know, it sounds like we did.
So the Orca obviously kind of making fun of the idea of collecting.
It's fun, though.
In his email, he writes, and I'm not going to try to do the accent, in case you simpletons don't pick up on the subtlety of this one, it's a send-up of the whole idea of collecting shit. Truth is, funny books and memorabilia are just for consumption and enjoyment.
All right.
Any perceived value is complete
H-A-W-S-E.
Buy for you, not for investing. You got money to put it to work, you give it to my cousin up on Farnham Street.
This is great.
So apparently his cousin is from Omaha. I don't believe for a second that the Orca is really from Maine.
I really like, though, that we get this like Lake Wobegon stories sure, every right. week from Maine. Maine has their own version of eBay.
The Orca also goes on to threaten us with a visit the next time he comes to visit his cousin.
Hey.
I'll be out of town.
Not me, man. I'll hang. I think he sounds great.
I'm afraid the Orca is going to murder me. That's basically the gist.
Stephen Fino.
Hello again, this is Lord Stephen, Master of Coins, sending in my answer to the question of the week. So, when I was 11, I discovered my uncle's old coin collection in the attic of my house. He had been killed by a drunk driver when I was just a baby, and without any kids of his own, his collection ended up just sitting in my attic for years until I found it. And he had the usual commemorative coins and the like, but the ones that really interested me the most were the ones with history behind them. I would sit and hold a coin from the Civil War or for World War II, and I would imagine the lives of the people who had spent the coin and all the hands it had passed through before it ended up being mine. I always loved history growing up. I still love history. And the idea of owning a piece of history is just really interesting to me. So fast forward a few years, and my family is in vacation, is on vacation in Bermuda, and it's a few weeks shy of my 13th birthday. And while my family doesn't really practice Judaism in any mainstream sense of the term, turning 13 is still a big year for us. And while I'm walking through the streets of Bermuda, we come across a jewelry store that has specializes in turning old coins into pendants and jewelry. So I find a medallion of an ancient Roman coin. It was over 2,000 years old, apparently from the reign of Augustus Caesar, the first emperor. And it was the oldest thing I'd ever held at that point. And I take it out and then I put it back, expecting to never see it again. And a few days later, I come back from the beach to find it sitting on my bed. So I still collect coins. I have a few coins that are older than that now, it still remains my favorite. So while that is not a particularly nerdy answer, it is still the favorite piece I've ever come across as a collector. So yeah, bye.
That's nerdy. Trust me, that's nerdy.
It's just nerdy in a different way.
And suddenly this Master of Coin thing makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, right.
And I did say, don't call me with your stamps and coins because that shit's so boring. That was a really good story.
Right, like 2,000-year-old yeah. Roman
that
coin.
That was not boring.
That's pretty cool.
It's a good answer.
It was the oldest thing he had held up to that point. I want to know what else you've held that has beaten that so far. That's a great answer, Steven.
Good answer, Steve. Thank you, buddy. We got a first-time, long-time caller here.
Hello there, THM. I am a first-time, long-time. With my greatest score, it did come through dumb luck. Happened to be on a lunch break, extended lunch, and was killing some time from in between appointments, so I went to one Coliseum of Comics in the Seminole Town Center Mall in Sanford, Florida, just to kill some time, do some browsing. Little did I know that also in the same store was one Mr. Jorge Perez. He was in there, I believe, with his wife, just shopping or talking with the checkout clerk. Since I noticed him, I proceeded to go back to the back issue bin, go diving around, see what I could find. I was able to find one copy of Infinite Crisis number 1, the PBZ cover. I was also able to find Crisis on Infinite Earths number 7. For those who are not in the know, that is the Death of Supergirl issue with one Mr. Jorge Perez's art in the book and on the cover. Proceeded to grab a couple other books that I wanted to read. Anyways, went up to the front counter where said Mr. Parisi and his wife were still talking to the custodial of the establishment, proceeded to pay for the copies. But prior to paying for them, I went ahead and said, hey, since I know you were here, had to pick this up and show him Infinite Comics number 1. Said wife then spoke up and said, oh, Jorge, you should autograph that for him. And I said, that would be awesome, and showed him, would you mind signing my other one as well? And so he did. Of course, after I had paid for those from that establishment, I was able to secure one signed Parisi cover of Crisis on Infinite Earth number 7 and Infinite Crisis number 1 for less than $5. So that would be my greatest score. Thanks, Keaton. Bye.
That's a huge score. And I'm ashamed to admit that it was halfway through the call before I realized he was making a joke and talking about George Perez. I was like, who is this guy talking about?
You are fired.
It took me, it really took me a minute.
You know what? That's a pretty good answer and really in keeping with the question, because not only was it just, it was total dumb luck, but he got it for a steal.
That's a score. Yeah.
Crisis number 7 and Infinite Crisis number 1.
What the hell?
For less than $5.
You walk into your comic shop and George Perez is just there. He's not doing a signing. He's just hanging out.
George Perez, maybe he lives in Florida.
I don't know. That's pretty awesome though.
Crisis number 7, Joe Patrick's favorite comic book of all time.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Toots time! I tried to do that like Birdman. I don't think I did a good job.
This was a tough one for me, guys, because I feel like I have my fair share of treasures in my dragon hoard. But I want to say one that means a lot to me is my copy of Marvel Conan the Barbarian number one, which actually I never really thought I would ever get. And I never thought I would spend the money on it, or, you know, I always kind of felt it was out of my reach. I've had opportunity to get one from time to time, but it wasn't until the guys at Legend Comics got a hold of one and put it aside for me. One of the owners wanted it for his own collection, but knew that he should offer it to me, see if I was interested. I was, because recently I had kind of felt like I wanted to maybe get a full run of that series. They were like, hey, we've got this number one. We thought you would dig it. And they were right. And it's in great condition. It's a beautiful little copy. They gave it to me for a fair price. And they kind of let me work it off, as it were. Why that means so much to me is because the comic shop that I go to and have done work for in the past, they knew I would want that. They knew that that was something to me to be a prized treasure. And the fact that they secreted it, they put that aside for me, really means a lot for me. It shows me how much that shop cares for my patronage. It's just awesome. Awesome to have.
Toots. What a guy.
Buddy.
Got a little misty. We make a lot of jokes on this show, but I am telling you, absolutely true here. He named his son Conan. That is how much Wooly Toots loves Conan the Barbarian.
That's true.
You could hear little Conan in the background.
Yep.
Squeaking. Born on the battlefield. Little Conan.
I love it.
There was blood and guts all over him and everything.
I love it so much.
Disgusting. That's a heartwarming answer. I would hope everybody has a comic shop that would do something like that for you.
The real shame is I know that they don't. For all the comic book shops in this country, there are very few of them that are actually worth a shit.
It's true.
I don't mean to toot our own horn or anything. I'm just saying comic shops need to step it up.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Toots, thank you for your call. But let's get down to the meatus of the matter here.
Gross.
Let's get to it. Favorite call. Who has the coolest swag? I'm going to pick the opposite. I'm going to say Demetrius Murray, because his story is just so bad. It's so bad. You got screwed, man.
I'm going to give mine to Anthony from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because that's such a great story.
He was a tearjerker.
His dad recorded himself reading issues of X-Men onto cassette tapes.
I want to know how he did like Dazzler's voice and stuff. You know, like how do you do the ladies?
Though I will say that philosophically, I'm probably I fall right there in line with the Orca.
Right.
Because I don't collect.
Yeah, you really don't.
I read and enjoy.
Okay.
And I can understand why comic collecting is fun, but like as an investment thing, I'm not into it.
Yeah, but what's your favorite thing that you got? I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be your collection, just something, your score.
All right, so I'm going to give two since we're doing real good on time. My best actual score and then my favorite thing that I got.
Okay.
So years ago, when I decided to give up collecting, I bought a sketchbook, a blank sketchbook, and I decided, you know what? I'm going to just start collecting convention sketches because I was working in a comic shop. I was going to a lot of conventions, meeting a lot of guys. And so I bought a blank sketchbook and I went to FallCon in Minneapolis, which is a great show. I recommend it to anyone that can make it to the area. And I met Phil Hester there, who I had already dealt with several times. I knew him very well at that point. And I went up to Phil and I said, Phil, I got a new sketchbook. I'm going to start getting sketches. I want you to be my first ever contribution to my new sketchbook. And he was taken aback. It was adorable. It's like the pressure.
Aww.
Like he felt so like, oh man, don't put that on me. You know, don't make me be the poor sap that's got to go first. And so I gave him the book and he had it for some time. Phil's fast, but he had it for a while.
Right.
And he put in the most gorgeous Swamp Thing drawing that I think I have ever seen.
I remember that sketch. It was really cool.
Yeah. This was not a convention sketch. This is something that you would have had to pay somebody good money to commission.
Finished, inked, everything.
Yeah, it was gorgeous.
Very cool.
And he gave it to me for nothing.
Oh.
Like, I treasured that thing.
Oh.
if we're going purely mercenary here, my favorite, my best score is probably this. Back when I was still accumulating comics, the shop that Matt and I worked for, at the time I was only a customer, but they used to put together like runs of stuff and sell them as bundles. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
And I found in the bin a complete run of New Mutants. 1 through 100 plus annuals.
I think
for
I remember
50
putting it
bucks.
Together.
$50. I was like, dang, it's 106 comics.
Yeah.
For $50. I'd never really read the New Mutants. Not much really. And I was curious about it. I had the money. I was like, all right, I'll go for it. And I bought it. And that stuff sat in a box until about a month ago.
Really?
So I started shopping at that store in 1997.
Jesus.
So we're talking like almost 20 years.
Finally got around to it, huh?
I found that stuff in a box. I pulled it out. I was like, oh God, these New Mutants. And then it occurred to me, there's probably a New Mutants 98 in there. First Deadpool. And I sold it to Legend, and that thing is worth $300 now. It's no Walking Dead number one, but like I paid $50 for a complete run.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like finding $20 in your jacket pocket that you left in a closet for a decade.
Yeah.
Back when I bought it, that comic wasn't worth anything. What do you got?
Mine comes from the same store that we both worked at. This was in the past. There was a character. I don't know if he's remained nameless or not, but there was a man that was sometimes published in the Overstreet Guide that would come in to look for issues and trade issues with the owner of the shop. He was a crazy person, a lunatic. He was rough around the edges, old guard.
I kind of miss him.
I'm getting there. Old guard, like comic book nerd,
yeah.
Right? He grew up in San Francisco way back in the day and did a bunch of drugs and never stopped loving comics.
He was an old underground comic hippie.
Yeah, big time. And he was very hard to deal with. He was brash. He was loud. He didn't even realize or care how rude he came off. And I loved the guy. I totally loved it. Everybody hated him. And I loved him. And I would strike up conversation just because he was just nuts. You know, he was just
once you got used to dealing with him, you know, he was better.
And he knew that he was hard to like and he was crazy. And sometimes he smelled bad. But I always talked to him and he knew that I was a huge Swamp Thing fan. And I was looking, always looking for old issues of Swamp Thing. And he brought in a House of Mystery 92 for Experience of Swamp Thing in pretty nice condition. And the other one was House of Secrets. House of Mystery was the other one that you brought in. It's right up there on the shelf.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the first appearance of Bernie Wrightson's swamp creature. This was before it was
Proto Swamp Thing.
And he said, these are for you. And I said, man, that's awesome. How much do you want for him? And he said, no, these are for you. And gave them to me.
Man,
gifted them to me.
He's a sweetheart.
This guy was world famous for being the cheapest son of a bitch like on the planet. Like he
That's
would
true.
Haggle over nickels. He would swear that the books that he had were in 10.1 condition and worth twice what you're offering him. You know, like he was that guy. And most times he got what he wanted. He gave me those comics. Random act of kindness.
Pretty great.
So sweet of that guy. So sweet of him. I still follow him on Facebook. I talk to him every once in a while when he like goes to India to get his hip replaced or something.
Yeah, he gets all of his major medical stuff done overseas where he can get it done cheap without insurance.
Yeah, just fell into my lap. Fell into my lap. It's awesome.
That's a pretty amazing story.
That's my favorite score. That's it right there.
I kind of miss him sometimes.
I miss the hell out of that guy. He was awesome. This was cool. We don't really get to talk about stuff like this very often. Like the actual act of collecting and the stuff that we have. We're always talking about news and opinion and whatnot. This is fun. I had a good time with this one. I thought it was going to be more boring than it actually was.
You know, I thought I was going to have a more difficult time coming up with an answer because I don't really collect.
Right. Yeah. But you don't really collect, but we still all have that mindset monster.
I probably would have been able to come up with an Elise style.
Sure.
Memory
that we would disqualify.
Yeah, well, you know, it's not a thing.
Thank you to everybody that called and emailed in your answers. We don't have a show without you guys. Totally radical. We'll be back next weekend with another episode of the Two-Headed Nerd Comic Book Podcast. But before we leave you, Joe Patrick, I need you to tell me, what are we asking the listeners this week?
This week's question is, out of all of the comics that have been resurrected over the years, which one do you think should have stayed gone?
Hate Fest.
Yes!
Let's hear the hate. I love it.
I already have my answer.
Do you?
You bet.
I'm going to have to really dig.
I knew it right away.
I am going to have to dig. All right. Let's hate on it. It's going to be fun. But for now...
I like it when we get feisty.
Oh, they get so feisty so fast. I love it. For now, this is the Two-Headed Nerd signing off.